This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind the decisions we make every day and how to make better ones. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman. Join me as I share true stories from Nobel laureates, athletes, authors, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better decisions in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
It's a visceral loss, and the scientific part of my brain wants it to make sense, at least, because there's a little cognitive dissonance that I did nothing wrong that I'm aware of, and yet I feel a little punished for it.
Welcome to How To. I'm Courtney Martin. Today is the third and final episode in our friendship series. We would genuinely love to hear from you about your hard-earned friendship wisdom or any questions you have. The How To hotline is always open at 646-495-4001 or email us at howto@slate.com. Now, this week's listener, Alice, wrote in with what feels like a perfect culmination to the series. What to do when a friendship, one you value deeply, suddenly disappears. I'm going to hand things over to my co-host, Carvel Wallace, and Alice to fill us in on the split.
I am Alice, and I am a stay-at-home mom with three kids, teenager age, and I drive taxi.
So, Alice, you're here because you have a very specific conundrum that you would like advice on. Can you give us the background on this story?
Yes. My daughter started dating, I guess, middle school, a boy. It's a small school, and she's known him since they were in second grade. And the parents, I've always wanted to get to know better, and this gave us the reason to get to know each other better. And then COVID struck, and the mom of the boy became sort of a foxhole friend of mine. The benefit of COVID was that our children couldn't be close to each other. They couldn't smooch or anything. During COVID, relationships were strained in her family. They were strained in my family. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We were both feeling betrayed, actually, by family who would throw away the relationship just because there would be a mask that had to be worn. We were extremely close. When she had a health scare, I took care of the kids. And so we told each other just about everything.
What did that friendship give to you? What did you love about it? What was your relationship like?
I felt the total freedom to be myself. We laughed a lot. When things get us down, the other can always bring us up with recognizing the absurdity of the situation and the humanity in the situation. It went on for a couple years, almost 3 years. And then my daughter broke up with the boy, and I was not expecting for my friend to end our friendship. And we used to joke about how our kids would go their separate ways and do college, maybe graduate school. They would come home for Christmas, rekindle whatever they had, and we could raise grandbabies together. That was our silly little fantasy, but we saw a future. And then when this happened, her son, when she asked, would it be weird if I stayed friends with Alice, said yes. And I suppose when your son asks you for solidarity, you give him solidarity. But other than that, I am mourning this friendship. I want to fight for this friendship, but it's not reciprocated.
I see. First of all, how long ago was this breakup, both between your children and the subsequent, I guess, you know, pause in your friendship?
18 months, 20 months.
And when the kids stopped seeing each other, was it amicable?
It was a simple growing apart, but my daughter was the one who ended it. But other than that, there wasn't an incident, a fight, a betrayal, anything like that, which feels silly to talk about for middle schoolers, but...
Well, not really. I mean, middle schoolers have the full spectrum of human emotions.
They do.
We do when we are that age. Yeah. So this has been very difficult for you, I understand. And I guess I'm curious about what are some of the feelings that have come up for you in the absence of this friendship?
I miss her She was in my inner circle. And yet, part of me is a little angry because I feel like our friendship was collateral damage. And yet, at the same time, I can't be angry at her because I love her. And I want to leave the door open. And we've had that conversation, and she has said, not now. And when a year came and went, I thought, maybe now. But we saw each other in passing at a party, and it was simple, small talk, very superficial. And that sort of made it clear that that's all it was now. My door is open, her door is not. And do I have to make peace with this, move on so I can let go of some of this grief? Or do I fight for the friendship?
That is our question. And to help Alice sort this out, Carvel brought in Carissa Potter. She's an author and illustrator and the founder of a small printmaking workshop called People I've Loved. She's also the host of a podcast called Bad at Keeping Secrets. But most importantly, she's someone who loves parsing through complicated feelings in relationships and helping others do the same. Carissa joins Carvel and Alice right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going, today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves, or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Carissa, I think it's safe to say in a messy situation like this, there aren't really any right answers, right? But there maybe is usefulness in talking it through with others. You're someone who has thought a lot and written a lot about relationships and friendships and breakups. And so I'm curious how Alice's situation is striking you upon first hearing it.
In some ways, it's like experiencing a death, also a mourning of the loss of the future that you had envisioned with this person. And if it's okay with you, could we have a name?
It's not her real name, but we can call her Grace.
That would be lovely. So I can really relate to this because my best friend moved away during the pandemic and she decided she was going to move to Italy. I felt really abandoned by her, but I can't be mad at her because it was the best decision for her family and it still is. But every day I miss her and I'm on this like active hunt to like replace her. And I know that no one can replace her because she's so infinitely special. But this sort of like when you were talking about earlier, the idea of what does fighting for a relationship look like? For me, it looks like and it feels like letting go. I don't know. How does it feel for you when I say like looking for someone else or trying to find like a new friend that would kind of provide the connection that you had with Grace?
That very much resonated with me because it feels like giving up to move on. And yet this grief is making me afraid of my other relationships.
Oh gosh. Mm. Yeah.
You know, you don't make that many friends as readily, easily, deeply, and in this case, fast. My friends who have children around the same age, I'm scared to death that my daughter, my child, might do something that offends them and I will lose them. And that is holding me back from being my full self, expressing my love for them, and making me afraid.
How is this also affecting your relationship with your daughter?
She doesn't know that the friendship is gone. I've never spoken to her about it. Mm. Right or wrong, I didn't feel like that was her burden or to feel any responsibility whatsoever because it is separate.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, I have to say, I really relate to that choice.
Okay.
You know, this raises, like, I think that one of the core emotional issues here that keeps coming up for me is like, we fear loss, right? I mean, sometimes we would rather not even be intimate in love and not experience that connection and enmeshment if we think it's going to be broken at some point. And I'm wondering, Carissa, what you think about the sort of the kind of like prevailing notion that it's better to have loved and have lost than never to have loved at all kind of thing. Like, how much should we be protecting ourselves from like the pain of loss versus how much should we be sort of showing up fully and just being like, let the chips fall where they may?
Everybody's threshold for emotional experiences is different. I personally am, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. I'm not addicted to drugs in a formal sense, but I'm definitely addicted to affection and like being chosen by someone else and feeling that security that you feel. Mm-hmm. But with that, I feel like humans understand through contrast, and I need to have the pain or the heartbreak to be able to really appreciate the state of that high. Do you think that in some ways, because of the timing on this, it's extra intense because of experiencing the same parallel trauma as the world shutting down?
Yeah, that's a good point. That it probably did ramp up the intensity. We were surprised by people in our lives when they established that their priorities were not the same as what we thought they were.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of in some ways feels like you've been sort of abandoned now by everyone, because there were groups of people before who maybe had differing views, but then the person you found who was kind of your confidant and who accepted you also has now left the situation or has changed her mind.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Over something that I, in my mind, have probably deemed as insignificant as asking a parent to wear a mask and them refusing to. That is how I'm feeling.
You mentioned a few times in your like kind of explaining the situation that feeling of, you know, you could call it political isolation, but I don't think this kind of isolation is political. I think it's very personal and emotional, because part of what makes COVID so intense and makes other quote unquote political issues so intense is like, you realize you're separated from people, not by ideology, but by an actual relationship to life. You're like, wait a second. I thought we were sort of like, you know what I mean? Like, is that really how you view life and the lives of others? Like, I feel quite alone in this. And so when you meet someone who is like, yeah, right. Like, I agree. There's a feeling of like, okay, finally, I'm not alone. And I think everyone's, a lot of people's political intensity around the current issues, whether it's war, genocide, COVID, abortion, it's not about fucking opinions. It's actually how people view life. Mm-hmm. And so everyone is feeling a little abandoned. No matter where you are in these issues, there's like a separating that makes you feel like, oh my God, I'm not even the same kind of human as these other people. And I think there's a lot of fear and panic because humans are social creatures. We're like, well, where do I belong? Who's my tribe? And so then people become really intense when they find someone else that they relate to, and those tribes become really tribal. This is my theory about what's happening.
It was exactly that. You described it well.
So then that makes me wonder, even though this person is gone, they haven't changed their beliefs, right? They haven't been like, oh, actually, now I've like reneged on all of the stuff we agreed on. I'm now on the other side of the scale. Correct. They've just said, I can't be in a current relationship with you because of whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder two things. One is if you can still feel that connection, that at least we know we're on the same page about this important life stuff. And then it also makes me wonder if it's possible to find other people to co-live with, to do Tuesday night friendship with.
That's a difficult question because making friends as an adult with children, with lives, just isn't as easy because you don't have the time. And you can make the time, but your lives have to overlap in some way. And I do have other friends that who are in my inner circle. I value and would fight to the ends of the earth for our friendship.
And those friendships are still intact right now?
Oh, yes, very much so. Uh-huh. I talk to them about the loss of grace.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I always thought that like true friendships had to have time. There was some part of the equation that time, and it had to be a long time. Like the intensity and the shortness didn't necessarily compare. But I do think part of the magic and the intensity of this, did you feel when she stopped the relationship, how did that change the way that you viewed her?
So I just want to clarify this question because I'm not sure I fully understand. Are you kind of getting at the idea that maybe the loss heightens the attachment?
Correct.
The feeling of attachment? Oh, I see.
That's interesting because my daughter was on the receiving end of a breakup this time, and she told me that she could only remember the good times all of a sudden. And I would say it's not similar to that. I just feel a loss of wanting to grab my phone and send her a funny note or tell her a story that happened today. It is closer to an unexpected death.
This sort of gets to like the $1 million question of this episode, which is, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, Carissa, like, should Alice let it go or hold the door open on this friendship?
I feel like they're not mutually exclusive of each other. I wonder, knowing that you can't have Grace back, what do you need?
That's the question. I have two parts of my mind. One is very analytical, and the other is just raw emotion.
You and sound like a human being.
Imagine. That's all I claim to be.
Not to diagnose, but you might be a human being.
I've heard that before. I should have that checked out.
Yeah.
But part of me hates being a human being. I want it to make sense. I want it to be logical. I want it to be black and white. And I would like you to give me the answer of, if I should pursue this or if I should mourn through my steps of mourning and move on.
After the break, an answer for Alice. Yes, really. Don't go anywhere.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Okay, we're back with the final episode of our special series on friendship. If you haven't heard the first two episodes, definitely check them out. And if you have, you might remember Emily from our episode on finding friends in unexpected places. All right, the hunt for Marta, her long-lost friend, is on. She's going to sign up for ice skating again and see if she can find her, and she's already planning for her cross-generational dinner party. After we talked, Emily went on this trip and pushed herself to make some older friends, one of which, it turns out, lives in her state, and they're getting together soon. These are the updates we love to hear. All right, on the other end of the spectrum, let's get back to helping Alice, who is struggling with a friendship breakup. I'm going to hand it back over to Carvel and our expert, Carissa Potter.
I think, unfortunately, accepting that it is going to be sad and that there's probably no timeline that it's not going to be painful in and that you're not going to grieve it and that it's probably going to show up again with different events through the rest of our lives, but trying to seek out other moments with other people who make you feel good. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that when people think that there's a very clear direction to go in, they're missing vital parts of the context. And yeah. I think like figuring out what you need to kind of, if it's moving on, yeah. If it's sitting in the grief, if it's figuring out what kind of you need and nourishing that would be my take on it.
What I'm really asking, if we boil this down, is how do I make the hurt go away? And I know there is no actual answer for that, but the bigger question, I do feel like I'm in a state of suspended animation and it's not in my control. It's uncomfortable, very uncomfortable for me. And so that's why I was hoping there would be an easy answer to make the pain go away. And that's magical thinking on my part, I know. But that is what I'm asking, right?
Yeah, to some extent it is. But it's funny, the phrase that's been popping through my head this entire conversation is, and I forgot where it's from originally, I'm sure our listeners know, but this quote that what is grief but love persevering? I've been thinking of that sentence actually for the last few days. Like I was on a hike yesterday in New Mexico, and for some reason that phrase popped in my head, and it was like, oh, I get it now. It's love perseveres after the breaking event. Like the event happens, whether it's a death or a breakup or a friendship is lost or whatever, but then the love perseveres. And that's what grief is. I still have all this love, but now I don't have the container for it.
That is beautiful. And that is an answer.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. And so it's interesting because you said that you felt like you were spending a lot of time and energy grieving. And I thought, that doesn't quite sound right to me, that the time and energy that feels extractive isn't necessarily grieving time and energy. It feels almost like it's the time and energy it takes to be in suspended animation, hoping that maybe this change can be undone.
Yes.
That things can be unchanged. And that is what feels like it takes up a lot of energy and you can't move forward. And it sounds like what Chris is saying and what I've sort of seen through my own experience is that once you accept that it's not up to you whether the change is undone, it certainly could be, but it's not. I mean, it certainly could happen, but you don't get to control whether or not it happens. Then you can actually move on with the actual work of grief, which is sitting with the persevering love that continues to roil around in your system without a place to be held, and that causes sadness and wailing and, you know, but that's what we do after we lose someone, whether we lose them to death, to a breakup, to friendship, whatever, that's what we do. And we've talked to so many people on this show about losing relationships, and that's the one thing that I'm now realizing always comes up. Once it's over, you still have to keep loving.
Not only that, but you don't just stop. And this unties that knot for me, because I feel like it's the love that's been banging its head against the wall. Let me out. And if I think of it as grief is simply love persevering, that gives it a reason for being, the grief, but it also doesn't tell the love to shut off. It tells the love it's real and it continues.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The love doesn't shut off. The love doesn't shut off.
And yes, and yeah. I was thinking of it as grief is the slow shutting down of love, but love was not going to let me do that. Love was still banging its head against the wall. Mm-mm. And this, you can think of it so affectionately then, not like grief. I got to get over this. I got to get with the program.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What are your expectations around grieving and loss, about what it should look like and how long it should take?
Oh, I bought books on grief, right? What is it? The seven steps? Because I wanted to get through the acceptance and moving on. And so I wanted to do it in order and I wanted to get it done. So I would say unrealistic.
Yes, because there will be a test at the end. So let's make sure that you...
Can you tell I'm an only child? This is such a solution for me. I can't overstate this, that it now doesn't make grief and love enemies here, but it gives them both a graceful place to exist.
Yeah, I think what people like about that quote, and again, I think it's from a movie or something.
That's,
I should probably Google
it,
but
a
like
Pauline Boss quote, is it?
The famous line, the famous line is said by the character named Vision in the TV series WandaVision.
Wanda? Oh my gosh.
I've never experienced loss because I've never had a loved one to lose. But what is grief, if not love persevering?
It's so timely because that was like one of the big pandemic collective experiences, was everyone was watching
only the greatest philosophers. Yes.
Getting on this phone call, I wasn't expecting any resolution. I guess I'm sort of taken aback in some ways, like shocked again that somehow Herville, you were able to read the situation that Alice was in and find comfort for her.
I was not expecting resolution either. I had simply written in a question that I thought maybe could be an interesting topic that I could listen to on the podcast. And then Rosemary contacted me and said that they were gathering experts. Like, I was actually going to find some advice. And I was hoping that I would move a step or two in some direction that would ease. But I was not expecting this. And if you keep asking the question, this has been my experience. I don't stop asking the question until I find this.
Yeah.
This peace. Yeah. And this eases all the tightness that I had. And I'm so grateful.
Oh, that's so lovely. That is so great. I'm so happy to hear that. And I would also even say that, like, let's not give too much credit to this conversation. I know that we, like, had a breakthrough here, but, like, you, my experience of this, as a person who's been through things like this before, and all the physical stuff happened, that like the anguish and the loss and the feeling of like you're like a baby bird and your mother's gone and you don't know where you're going to get food from and all that. And just like, even though I'm a grown ass man, we have this conversation now 18 months after this event has happened. So you've been able to progress through some of these elements. Like, if I came to you the day of the breakup and was like, hey, where does grief, but love persevering? You might be like,
go
yo,
away.
Shut the fuck up. Like, I'm not trying to hear that right now. So I think that there is compassion in letting it take
time. To sit with the question.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's not about like finding, like plugging in the right solution so that you solve the equation instantly. That there's actually, that there's a compassionate way to let it, just let it take
time. Let me be clear. If there were a way to make an algorithm that took this way, I would do it. This is a much harder way, but
you would.
Real. It is real.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I just want to say that I have loved this conversation. Thank you both so much for showing up here and giving what you have given.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way.
I would just like to say I would like to be friends with both of you.
Thanks, Alice.
Love it.
Thanks to Alice for coming to us with her question. If you have an ending that you need help navigating, give us a call at 646-495-4001 or write to us at howto@slate.com. Be sure to check out all of Carissa Potter's wonderful work. We'll link to it in the show notes. All right, so that does it for us today. But listen to all the episodes in our friendship series for February. If you missed any, they've been a revelatory joy to work on. And if you like what you heard today, please give us a rating and a review and tell all of your old and hopefully new friends. That helps us help more people. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Joel Meyer is our senior editor. The show is produced by Rosemary Belson with Kevin Bendis. Merritt Jacob is senior technical director and composed our theme music. Charles Duhigg created the show. For Carvel Wallace, I'm Courtney Martin. Thanks for listening.